Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You're listening to Here's the Catch with David Lombardi, Matt Barrows, and Dennis Brown on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Well, Trey Lance has his feet wet, but it all happened in a loss. The Arizona Cardinals beat the 49ers 17-10. Up and down game for Trey Lance, but guys, I can say that the kid has some heart. He has some guts. Reminded me a little bit of Steve Young when he's trying to run without his helmet. I don't know if it was sustainable. I know that Steve, early in his career, when he was running around everywhere, that wasn't sustainable. He had to learn how to deliver from the pocket, and that's obviously part of a long journey that the 49ers are now embarking on with Trey Lance. But we saw the start of it. We saw good defensive performance against Arizona, but most importantly, we saw another 49ers loss. Matt, 17-10. They leave this game feeling good about their defense against the Cardinals offense that was leading the NFL, entering the game at 35 points per game, but the 49ers have a lot to work on offensively, even though Trey Lance did deliver that gutsy performance.
Right, I agree. Gutsy, and the game wasn't too big for him. I mean, it was tough circumstances. It was an undefeated team that they're playing in a dome. This was the guy's first ever start, and he did not shrink from it. And I think that probably is the biggest takeaway long term. I know 49ers fans are unhappy about the loss and the 2-3 start, but big picture, I thought that, you know, there were some good things about Trey Lance. He is competitive. He does take on tacklers. He does have a big arm, and you saw Kyler Murray extending plays throughout this game. You saw Russell Wilson doing it last week, and I think that moving forward, you know, whenever Trey Lance becomes a starter, that's going to be his calling card as well. This was a game, Dennis, that they needed everybody to play perfectly if they were going to have a chance to win it, and they were in the game towards the end, but boy, I don't think that you can say that this was a perfect outing from everybody, especially on offense.
You know, Trey Lance, I think we knew what he was coming into this football game. He's a tremendous athlete. He's still raw. He's not the most accurate. His mechanics aren't all the best, but he's going to make it exciting. And, you know, I hate to start saying that he's a tough quarterback because that means he's taking a lot of hits and getting up. And you never want that in your starting quarterback. You know, my question is, moving forward, it looked disjointed because there was a lot of holding penalties. And that was because, you know, you didn't know where your quarterback was. He was scrambling around. And, you know, as an offensive lineman, your back's to everything. You don't know what's going on. And then you tend to grab on and hold defensive linemen when you have a scrambling quarterback. Receivers really didn't look like they knew how to do the scramble drill. Kind of like Russell Wilson with his receivers. They know where to go once the quarterback starts moving in the pocket. It didn't feel that way. So it makes me wonder, is it over time that the team learns to play with this type of quarterback, and how do you do that? If Jimmy Garoppolo wants to come back against Indianapolis, do you go with Jimmy still, or do you let this team learn how to play with the future? I think we got to look into the future a little bit, the bigger picture. And if this is the quarterback for your future, when do you just kind of say, listen, give him the keys and let this team get used to playing with him? So I think the defense kept this game reachable. It's just in the red zone, you know, you couldn't get any points. And that's what you need to do. I mean, against a good team like this, you need to take advantage of the opportunity. And the defense gave you one with the Dante Johnson fumble. Put points on the board. So there's a long way to go. I just wonder, what does Kyle Shanahan do now? Do you stay with this kid, or do you go back to your pocket passer and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, Dennis, your point is really, really solid that the 49ers did look disjointed around Trey Lance. You know, aside from those drops, those holding penalties. Oh, my God, flag after flag after flag. There was that one play on which both Trent Williams and Mike McGlinchey held. Combine that with, you know, the route running issues, the drops. Mohamed Sanu had a terrible one early in the game. It was a, the throw wobbled, but I don't care because on the other side, Rondale Moore is making the SportsCenter top 10 with his catches, keeping his toes in bounds. Mohamed Sanu, a veteran, can handle a ball that has a little wobble on it when he's wide open on a key third down. 49ers ended up going 4 of 16 on third and fourth downs combined, which, you know, was one of the stories of this game. But obviously, the offensive apparatus around Trey Lance didn't perform at the way that they should. And I'm not holding Trey Lance to the same standard because he was a rookie making his first career start, throwing his head in there. I mean, taking vicious shots all over the field when he was trying to run the ball. I mean, he ran for like 80 yards in this game. So the conundrum that the 49ers face now is that Lance was not efficient on the aggregate. In this game, you can't. Let's not pretend that he was efficient. They went 4-16 on third and fourth down. It wasn't good enough offensively to win. They only scored 10 points, squandered a great defensive performance. But how much of that was Trey Lance's fault, and how much of it was the fault of all this other stuff that we're talking about? A and B. Moving forward, how does Shanahan play this? As Dennis said, you are balancing the short term and the long term. And obviously Lance already got better from his first week, but there's still so much left to be desired. Matt, I think it's obvious that Jimmy Garoppolo is a more efficient situational option. I mean, he had been really good on third downs before he got hurt. That was one of his strengths. And the offense under Lance is terrible right now on third and fourth downs. So obviously you have that benefit. But at the same time, the cat's already out of the bag. The 49ers do need to make sure that Trey Lance continues to get better. So how do you feel they're going to play this? I think this is the very reason why Kyle Shanahan wanted to play two quarterbacks back in the preseason. Right? Because he needed to balance both of these interests. And now both of these interests are going to be screaming at him. Because at 2-3, despite how much doom and gloom there is out there, I can tell you this, the 49ers aren't punting the season away yet. They still need to put their most efficient product on the field somehow while staying true to Lance's development.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo at the first chance that he comes back. And we should note that Garoppolo was on this trip. We saw him before the game. I watched him through my binoculars take very gingerly dropbacks, I would describe it, in the end zone with a trainer watching him the whole time. So he certainly didn't look spry, but Shanahan seemed to indicate, or at least he had a good hope that with the bye coming up, Garoppolo would be back in time to start against the Colts in the next outing. And he did hedge that by saying, well, you never know with these calf injuries. And the 49ers have a lot of calf injuries. They've got Kaywan Williams down with a calf. They've got George Kittle now on IR with a calf. So Shanahan knows from experience that you can't take these too lightly. But he's encouraged that he'll be back. I think that, had this been a blowout, a hideous outing by Trey Lance, a very rookie-like outing by Trey Lance, we'd have Garoppolo back and, we might not see Lance for any extended period for a long time. Now, if the 49ers, go into a funk, losing streak continues, if the playoffs start to look hopeless, I wonder whether this outing was encouraging enough that, somewhere down the road, I don't know what week we're talking about here, Dennis, but somewhere down the road, maybe Lance gets his second bite of the apple and gets a little bit more experience, so that when 2022 comes around, we're not still talking about a guy who's got just scant experience under center, dropping back, reading defenses, throwing lanes. I thought that was a bit of an issue today. I think there were five passes that were batted at the line of scrimmage, so. At some point, we have to, the 49ers might have to think about looking ahead to 2022.
Like I said, it makes me wonder, because right now, when you have, Lance the way he played today, and, everyone's criticizing, Kyle Shanahan and how he's handling him, is the game plan. Why are there so many design quarterback runs? Is this another RG3? Is this kid going to get beat up? So, you know, I think a lot of the choices he made today in the football game was that he just trusted his legs more than he would trust his arm. And he was trying to make plays with his legs. And, you know, David, you referenced Steve Young. I think for the first 4 years, Steve Young was a running quarterback. And finally, he kind of broke down and he decided he needed to be a pocket passer. Is that the mentality? Is that the game plan with a kid like this until he gets comfortable being a quarterback or get the reps being an NFL quarterback? Is this what we're going to see? Because this is definitely a look into the future of the 49ers. This is why they traded up and they went and got Trey Lance. He's going to be the future one of these days. I just don't know when. I don't know if it's an Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick type of situation, but he's going to be the starting quarterback. And the question is, you know, can he take the hit? I mean, he took some hits today. I mean, just look at his mother in the stands. She was having a hard time. He was taking some shots. That goal line shot, I mean, you know, he bounced backwards, you know, and in college he would run over players, and it's different in the NFL. I just wonder, you know, if this kid can hold up and last until he becomes a pocket quarterback. Because at some point, it's easy to game plan a quarterback that's going to run. One read and run quarterback. It's easy to game plan that type of quarterback. So, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Indianapolis game, you see more of him in a football game or even him start in that football game.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, to answer the question, Dennis, it's just not sustainable. We saw it with Steve Young. We saw it with Cam Newton, whose career, I mean, he was bowling over too many people, and then injuries caught up to him. Ultimately, you have to be able to deliver from the pocket with good decisions, you know, 25 to 30 good decisions from the pocket per game. Time and time again, that's been shown to be the truth in the NFL, because defenses will adjust, and the only way to counter adjust is have a quarterback who can on the fly make the decisions to beat defenses from the pocket. And there's nothing against Trey Lance. I think that he's on track to reach that goal, but he's still really early in that track. I mean, he's coming from FCS level football, only 318 college throws under his belt. Most of them came 2 years ago. He's 21 years old. There's a reason why the 49ers, you know, kept Jimmy Garoppolo around and didn't want this start that we saw for Trey Lance to happen until 2022. But it's happened in 2021, and we're not sure about Jimmy Garoppolo's health situation. So the process and the need for development has sped up right now for the 49ers. And yes, they're going to have to use some smoke and mirrors until Jimmy Garoppolo comes back. But, you know, it does lend the question, Matt, of, you know, how much can Trey Lance actually develop while sitting on the bench? I mean, we use the Patrick Mahomes comparison a lot, and Shanahan has used it because Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith for a full season in Kansas City. But Mahomes was also a multi-year starter at the FBS level for Texas Tech. So he had some polish. He had some reps. With Trey Lance, you're facing the catch 22 because he doesn't have that FBS experience. He's obviously more raw than Mahomes was when he came in. 49ers, you know, haven't given up on their designs of contending this year, nor should they. They have an obligation to put the best product on the field for as long as possible. But they also need to give him those reps because he's so green. So today I think we saw a little bit of both, right? We saw the exceptional physical talent, but we also saw the flaws, like the high interception early on. It was all stuff that we saw in training camp, all those patterns magnified into an actual regular season game.
Yeah, and we were talking about drops in training camp as well. I remember there was a whole spate of them in the first two preseason games. And I just wonder whether that's all kind of the same thing that we're describing. It's just the offense going from one quarterback to another. Offensive tackles aren't used to the quarterback escaping from the pocket and holding on to the ball as long as Lance did. I mean, I think that's a huge difference between Lance and Garoppolo. Garoppolo gets rid of the ball quickly. I mean, literally quickly. He's got a quick release, but he also gets rid of it on time. And Lance just wasn't pulling the trigger as fast. And you don't expect a rookie to, but I think that was a big part of the six holds that were called today. And, you know, there's something going on with the drops. I mean, they were not bad passes. There's always a big debate over whether it's the quarterback's fault or the receiver's fault. If it hits you in the hands, it's the receiver's fault, and that happened three times today. But there's a difference between the ball that Garoppolo throws and the ball that Lance throws that the receivers have a hard time with. Now, to get back to the kernel of it, I mean, Shanahan definitely had a plan, or at least the idea that he could throughout the season get Lance an adequate number of reps and looks and experience so that this year isn't a total waste. I mean, that was the whole idea. I think what he ran into is that, you know, when it comes down to it, that idea sometimes doesn't work with the game situation, that he didn't want to put a rookie into some of these tight games, you know, like against like Philadelphia in week two, for example. It's a question as to whether the initial plan, the off-season plan, the one that they hatched some point in the spring before the draft, is really practical, Dennis, at this point. Whether this guy can get the adequate number of snaps if he's getting two or three or zero or six per game, or whether from this point out, it needs to be increased a little bit.
Really kind of between a rock and a hard place. It's, you know, now we've seen what you got. How do you develop it? And it's very obvious he needs the reps. And, you know, we always compare the Mahomes and Alex Smith situation, but he's not a Mahomes. He needs more. You know, Mahomes came in, he was throwing touchdowns down the field. He was reading defenses because he had had the reps. He had had the practice in college. He's just raw. This kid is raw, but you need, I think the talent is there. The ability is definitely there. The heart's there. The passion's there. He just needs to rep. So now, you know, the coaching staff, you have to sit and you have to figure, what do you want to do moving forward? I mean, if you bring him into the game and you declare him the starter and Jimmy Garoppolo not, how does that affect your locker room? I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy that came in and took you to a Super Bowl. No, he hasn't been healthy for 4 years he's been here, but he did take you to a Super Bowl when he was, and he's a captain of this football team. So it's kind of a weird situation, but, you know, Trey's just raw. He's you know, he's got a lot of mechanical things to work around. I mean, I think a lot of these bat down passes today is just kind of his throwing motion. We always talk about Brady and Rodgers with this quick release. You know, does he wind up? Is there something on tape that teams see? Certainly today there was something where J.J. Watt knew exactly when to put his hands up. And that's something you're taught as a defensive lineman. You look at quarterbacks and you kind of can tell when that windup's coming. And if you're, you know, the clock in your head, if you're not to the quarterback by 3-4 seconds, you start putting your arms in the air because you know you can probably get a low ball. So he's got a lot of work to do. But now the question is, how do you get the work? You know, you don't want to throw away the season. You are three games behind now, but you don't want to throw away the season. But he's got to get some looks somehow. He's got to get some reps.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The reason you don't want to throw away the season, we saw today, Arizona was leading the NFL 35 points per game coming into this one. They just had blown out the Rams. They're the only remaining undefeated team in the NFL, and the 49ers defense held them to 17 points at home. Yeah. And that was after a first drive where the 49ers defense looked lost. So after that first drive, for a 7-drive stretch, the Cardinals scored only 3 points against this 49ers defense. And to be honest, it really looked like they had notched a safety when Eric Armstead got held right at the goal line. And I thought that the actual holding infraction happened in the end zone, which should have by rule been a safety. But the officials said that the hold actually started right outside the end zone. The block started right outside the end zone. But boy, on replay, it seems to me that officials just are allergic to calling safeties. I don't know why. I was talking to Matt about this in the press box. I don't know what the incentive to not call a safety is. I'm sure it upsets Dennis a lot as a defensive lineman. But the Cardinals got away with one. The 49ers defense should have had a big play, big notch in their armor there. They didn't get it. They had a huge takeaway when Dante Johnson stripped the ball from Chase Edmonds later. That was actually something the 49ers had practiced more this week. They were looking for those strips because they entered the game last with only one takeaway. So they in my mind, they got two massive plays. They should have gotten the safety, and they should have, had a game-changing play with the fumble, but the offense squandered that fumble right away. But long story short is that this team is producing on the defensive side of the ball. We saw them produce for a whole half against Seattle, too, and not get enough help from the offense. The point is that they have the ingredients to do some stuff, Matt. I mean, we saw Deebo Samuel. We saw Brandon Ayuk today. George Kittle's currently on IR, so that obviously hurts the 49ers. But it's not like this team is devoid of talent. This is still a stocked roster, in my opinion. And it's this situational football, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that's killing them. And they need to fix that before time runs out.
Yeah, and that's what's motivating this team right now. I forget who said it, but the 49ers are 2-3, but they believe that they're in these three losses, and they're just a couple of plays from being 5-0. So it's something that they can turn around. It's not a really long, arduous fix that they have to go through. And to bring Dennis and the safety question back into this, I mean, I don't like to harp about bad officiating. I think every game has got some dubious calls in it, et cetera, et cetera. But this one, it was just weird. Like we're talking about the 49ers offense being disjointed. This officiating crew was disjointed from the beginning. That oddball, obvious incompletion that they allowed to keep going. I watched Trent Williams have to run 45 yards in order to track down the guy who picked up the quote-unquote fumble. Because no one was sure at that time. I mean, that's just sort of some bush league stuff was happening with this officiating crew. And I agree. I think that should have been a safety, and that would have been a big turning point in that game.
I agree. That was a bad no call. I mean, that was a holding in the end zone, which should be 2 points for the 49ers. But, as a player, coaches always tell you, penalties, officials can't affect the game. Don't let it affect the game. It is what it is. It's going to happen. You just got to play through it. But there were some weird calls in this football game. And, this officiating crew, they were throwing flags. I mean, like, how do you have two holding penalties on one play? Both tackles. I mean, there was flags going everywhere. But, again, that's part of the game. Officials, they're not really watching the game. There's nothing invested. They're looking at whatever they're looking at. You got to play through it. But definitely think about that 2 points. Was it 7? Was it still 7-0 at that point?
The 49ers. It would have made it 7-2. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, that could have been, things like that change the momentum. Just little things Absolutely. Like that change the momentum of the football game. So, but again, you can't blame, or you can't expect the officials, or you can't let the officials kind of determine, how a football game turns out. But sometimes they have a big effect on football games.
That certainly did today. And I just thought that it was illustrative of the frustration that, befell the 49ers. I mean, I'm not pretending the defense was perfect, but I think it's unreasonable to expect a defense to be perfect in this age of offensive football against the advanced stats had Arizona's the number 3 offense coming in, but they were number 1, 35 points per game. They're running an air raid, with perfect distribution. They had like 5 different receivers with 15 to 17 catches and over 200 yards coming in. I mean, this was going to be a really, really hard challenge for the 49ers defense coming into this game. And yeah, they gave up a touchdown drive to open. That was off of a Trey Lance interception. Let's make sure we put that out there. So the defense had to go out there off of an offensive giveaway, which is not a good formula to win immediately. And then they gave up a touchdown there at the end. But the touchdown they gave up at the end was only after the offense went four and out following the takeaway that the 49ers defense generated. So, you know, from just a reasonable level of demanded execution, I think the 49ers defense satisfied that in this game. And it was, you know, on that offensive side where the 49ers, Matt, did some really nice things, but they couldn't glue them all together. I mean, let's talk about Elijah Mitchell, running back. I mean, he looked great. Trey Sermon didn't get into the game until like 4 minutes remained because I thought Elijah Mitchell was a great fit. Debo Samuel scored another big touchdown for the 49ers. Ayuk had that nice catch and run for this team. They outgained Arizona, but they didn't out-execute Arizona when it actually mattered on those third and fourth downs. So the problem is, if you keep on saying this week after week, ultimately it doesn't matter how much yardage you pick up. And we've been saying this week after week at this point. So the 49ers need to fix it quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about Elijah Mitchell. He's going to go unnoticed or little noticed in this game because there are other bigger themes going on. But he ran the ball really hard. I mean, he looked a lot like Raheem Mostert in this game. And not just you know, the ability to get outside, which I think the 49ers had been missing the last couple of games. But even when there are tacklers there, I mean, he hits them head on. And I think the 49ers really appreciate the toughness that he brings. And I think he averaged something like 4.8 yards a carry. And that's with the Cardinals really kind of stacking the box and inching up and trying to force Trey Lance to beat them with his arm. So it was a good game for him. Dennis, I wanted to bring up something you said earlier about being a defensive lineman and being able to kind of zero in on a quarterback's pass when, A, you know, the clock is starting to tick down, the mental clock in your head. But also, I think you said that when a quarterback has a windup, it gives the defensive lineman a little bit of a clue that it's coming his way. And boy, David and I have noticed that there is a windup. And David, it seems like it's a bigger windup than we saw in training camp in the summer. But there seems to be a hitch where Lance kind of starts his motion and then, you know, goes back and you know, brings it back again. And Dennis, just from a defensive lineman's perspective, I mean, would your mouth be watering if you saw a quarterback doing that time and time again?
If it was a tendency that you could see on film, and the D-line, you know, we do a lot of messing around in the film study, but there's always those moments where someone picks up on something. And as a defensive group, I mean, I haven't watched Trey enough, but if there's something, there's a clue, and, you know, someone kind of picks it out and you kind of decide that after 3 seconds, if he's not running the ball, someone screams, you know, hit, ball. That means everyone puts their arm up because he's starting that windup. And we know if you put your arms up, you can either block the vision down the field or you're going to tip the ball. And, you know, those are little things you pick up just watching film. Like I said, I don't know if he's got a windup. But I know, you know, the elite quarterbacks who have that quick release and you don't see balls knocked down are the ones with the you know, that quick motion, that quick, you know, that whip of the wrist like an Aaron Rodgers to get the ball down the field, not a big windup. So there could be something. I don't know. It just seemed like there was a lot of tip balls. You know, Jimmy gets a lot of balls tipped too. But today it just really seemed like there was a lot of tip balls. So there was something that at least J.J. Watt knew. He had something that he knew when to put his arms up. And any defensive lineman, if you're rushing up the middle and after 3 seconds the ball is still alive in the quarterback's hand and you're not getting a rush, you're always taught to put your arms up anyway. Get your hands up because the ball is going to be coming out eventually or coming out very soon. And you most likely can get your hand on the ball if you get your hands up and you're rushing up the gut.
Well, one, Arizona's good. This is a good defense. You know, people sometimes don't, I think, give, you know, this team credit for what they're doing this year defensively. They've been a top six defense entering this game because everybody thinks of Cliff Kingsbury and the air raid, but his defense has been getting better over the years for Arizona. They're number 10 last year, and they picked up J.J. Watt this season. So you got Watt and Chandler Jones coming off the edges. You know, you have Isaiah Simmons at linebacker, Buda Baker back there just roaming around the secondary. So, you know, some of the credit has to go to them. But I think you're spot on, Dennis. I mean, it is an elongated throwing motion for Trey Lance. That we saw it last week. Bobby Wagner almost intercepted a pass, even though Trey Lance threw it 120 miles an hour. You know, that shows you something. That means that Lance was staring down the target, which I think he, I mean, it's this is all stuff that we expect from Trey Lance, as raw as he is. He is staring down targets, and he is. I mean, the windup I didn't expect as much, but I think ultimately they want to get him to have a similar throwing motion as Deshaun Watson, who obviously has a compact enough delivery despite the elongated frame to get the ball out in time. He's never going to be Garoppolo. He's never going to be the jugs. That's Jimmy Garoppolo's strength, right? I mean, for all of his physical limitations, Shanahan calls him a jugs machine because he zips that ball out. And I think some of Garoppolo's bat downs are, you know, it's the fault of the 49ers offensive line. It's the fault of, you know, the fact he's thrown over the middle all the time because, like Dennis said, you raise your arms, you're going to get lucky every once in a while. And it's also the fact that maybe Garoppolo does stare down defenders every once in a while, so just like Lance did today, so that defensive line could get ready for it. But Trey Lance, I think the issue is coming because of, you know, the combination of what I just said, because of that elongated release and because he's not really progressing at full speed efficiency yet. For that, he's going to need those reps, and that gets us back to square one. How are the 49ers going to manage the development of Trey Lance while still trying to win with Jimmy Garoppolo? Because I think it's clear that Kyle Shanahan still wants to do both, and that's where we're at right now. Where do the 49ers move forward? So I guess that's kind of how we could wrap this up, Matt. What are you looking for the 49ers to address over this bye week?
Well, I mean, I think that getting healthy is a big part of it. This was the third straight game that they played without a third down back. So for as good as Elijah Mitchell has been, they still don't trust him or Trey Sermon or any of the newcomers on third down. So Jermichael Hasty coming back, that I think that would help in that regard. Another big theme that is going to go underplayed, I think, coming out of this game was that Travis Benjamin was the go-to guy early in the game. That was going to be the secret weapon, the guy who kind of stretched the defense deep. Instead of Brandon Ayuk, the guy who played just down the street at Arizona State, and Ayuk definitely had a fantastic third down catch and run in this game, but it's been a quiet start for him. And the 49ers, you know, especially with George Kittle, will be out for at least two more games. They need some spark. They need something more than Deebo Samuel on offense, and Ayuk has been too quiet. He needs to awaken coming out of this bye, and if he does that, then I think the 49ers have a little bit more going for them.
I mean, the bye is a good opportunity to kind of, you know, take yourself away from football a little bit and, you know, hopefully get some of the bumps and bruises and maybe get some guys back or get fresh, get your legs fresh. I mean, the 49ers, this is the season. And, you know, you see what you got. You got some talent on the defense. And, you know, we've been saying this for 4 years. You got the talent on the offense. How do you put it all together? You know, and, you know, Kyle Shanahan has to figure out his quarterback situation. I mean, is Jimmy Garoppolo the guy, or is, you know, is this the thing? I'm leaning towards, you know, I mean, he's young, he's raw, but, I mean, until you get him some reps, you know, he's got a long way to go. But also, if he's part of your offense, he's got to get the reps. So I think there's going to be a lot of decisions made in this bye week with the quarterbacks, and you know, you got a great running game. I mean, that fourth down on the end zone, why wasn't Elijah Mitchell given the football? Why is your quarterback going head on? And you know, that's just not going to work. So there's going to be some better decision making. Got to be some better mechanics worked if Trey's going to play in the National Football League. And, you know, use the bye week to figure out what moving forward, what's it going to be? You're 2-3 and the season's still young, but you got to start winning some football games. You're in a three game slide, and you know, you need something positive to happen for this football team, or it could fall off a cliff real easily.
Yep. And that's the truth of it. People still need to keep the perspective. 17-game season, they're wild card spots. That, I mean, there's still a chance to play all these division teams again. And the 49ers are already really close to three straight wins. I mean, we're not sugarcoating the problems at all. They're there. The 49ers are struggling through them, but they're also close at the same time. I mean, we all know what a team that's getting blown out looks like. We've covered some Shanahan teams that were not close at all in 2017 and in 2018. This is not that right now. This is very different, and the 49ers do find themselves in that, you know, in between that rock and a hard place, and we'll see how they wiggle out of it. We'll see how they try to make the best of both worlds. So far, they haven't been able to make the best of either, but that's what this bye week is for. So we'll keep on tracking that moving forward. Anyway, thanks again for listening to this episode of Here's the Catch. Catch us next time. It will be very soon. For Matt Barrows and Dennis Brown, this is David Lombardi. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.